The meditation today is in Psalm 121, the second of the Songs of Degrees or Songs of Ascent. Let's hear it read now. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Near the beginning of a trip up to Jerusalem from, say, nearby, like as I mentioned last week, Bethlehem, or far off places like way to the south in Beersheba, or way up to the north in the city of Dan, wherever you are coming from in the land of Israel, you had to go up to Jerusalem, and sometimes by tortuous trails. Sometimes it was roads that were long and hot and dusty, with climbs to them at times, and areas that would fall off into deep glens off to your side. It wasn't the easiest trip, at least for some people. As well, during the year, a couple of these were, well, one of them was springtime, but a couple of the other walking festivals were during the summer. The sun was hot. It would beat down upon you. Rocks, maybe, with the change in temperature in that arid climate from being very hot in the daytime to very cold at night, would sometimes crack, and there might be, rock falls, slight landslides, things like that. They're known even today in modern-day Israel. Furthermore, in some of these craggy places, like, for example, on the way up from the City of Palms, Jericho, there were sometimes robbers who would hide behind boulders, hide behind clefts, who would jump out and attack. It wasn't sometimes the easiest. Now, the pilgrims just setting out would be looking at the high hills around them, and those of you who are my age or a little older or a little younger can remember cowboy movies, westerns, you know, or western TV shows, and the soldiers or the cowboys would be down someplace low, and they'd look up to the hills around or to the canyon rims, and uh-oh, there were the Indians. Or maybe you have watched the movie Zulu before, and here are these British troops, mostly Welsh, waiting for the attacks of the Zulu impis that they know are coming toward them. And suddenly the leading units of the Zulu detachments first show up on the hills ringing around the station there at Roark's Drift. Or we can think of other times and other movies and other TV shows where the bad guys show up on the hills. But that's not the way it is here. The pilgrims look up to the hills. In fact, they look beyond the hills, perhaps, that ring them. If they're coming, say, from Jericho, the hills that are to their west, in between them and Jerusalem. They look beyond those hills to the hill of Zion, where God's house is. That Old Testament picture, a picture made of stone and of timber, a picture made with gold and redolent with the aroma of cedar. The place that speaks of realities which were yet to come. They look to that temple. That place that was a picture of the person and work of the Lord Jesus dwelling in the midst of his people, Emmanuel. They looked to the hill, to the one who would deliver them. The one who was their help. The very one who made the hills that they must climb before they got to the hill made by him, and that temple expressing spiritual things constructed by him. For after all, in the council of eternity, he it is who chose his church. In the council of eternity, he it is who devised the way and plan of salvation. In the plan of eternity, he it is who decided to save a people by giving his only begotten Son, who himself came willingly to die, well, to live and to die for, and to be raised for his people, whom he loved and loves yet. That is where the godly looked. They knew him as we know him. We may be better, but we know more truly. They who were believers then, who looked to the Christ who would come, who was predicted by the prophets and spoken of by them, who was pictured by the priests and the sacrifices in the temple, all these people knew him in and through the covenant of grace, which would be, in their time, would be secured by the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as we, of course, know him who is in covenant with us, covenant secured by Christ's finished work. This one whom they knew was always faithful. This one whom they knew was unchanging in his kind and merciful and gracious purposes. This one whom they knew to be the one who was mighty. He made the heaven and earth. And he was willing, able and willing, both to care for them. And so with confidence they could say, he will not allow your foot to be moved. Because he is unmoving. He who keeps you will not slumber. He never slumbers nor sleeps. His eye is always upon his people. Now, unbelievers get really nervous at that. Just like we get nervous, you know, about all the revelations we've been hearing about the government spying upon us constantly. I wonder how many of you have Verizon phones, for example. The wicked know this deep down, and they find it scary and horrible, but the believer knows that their Father in heaven has his eye of love upon them and is always watching over them to care for them, to protect them. We may sleep, we may place ourselves in danger, but our God does not. He is our keeper and our shade. Not only, friends, not only our shade from the sun beating down on us, but he has provided a shield. He has provided a shade, we might say, from his hot wrath in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. It is because they know that Jehovah is a God of grace that they can say in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve not just your body. He will preserve that. But he will preserve your soul. He will preserve your soul. He cares for you, we might say, inside and out. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth. He does not say for the rest of your life in this world, but evermore. You and I, friends, are secure from every evil. This does not mean that we shall have no affliction. No, our Lord Jesus has said that in the world you shall have much affliction. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in that overcoming, we are overcomers as well. He, now, being raised from the dead, he said that the night of his betrayal, of course, He, being resurrected from the dead, is now ascended on high, where he reigns over all things as our King. And as we shall see in sermon today, he is the one who rules over all militantly for our good, out of seeking his Father's glory and out of love for us. So, let us look then beyond the hills. Let us look to the high place where the Father has set his only begotten, of whom we shall sing not only in Psalm 121 here in just a moment, but later on at this service from Psalm 2 as well. Let us look to him who has given himself to death that he might rise again, that he might redeem his people from their sin, and might rule over all things for their blessing. Psalm 121 now we'll sing, after we've meditated on it here, and we'll use the first version of it, Psalm 121a.